It is such a convenient thing, and it allows women to have more choices in life. It allows them to choose when they want to have their family, but it comes with consequences, and this is what we've got to understand. We need to just stop taking something just because our doctor prescribes it, and then we have this automatic assumption that it's safe or it's healthy, it's no big deal. But, you know, you're playing around, you're messing around with a natural cycle. You know, you're suppressing a natural cycle. It comes with consequences, big consequences.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes that we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. Have you ever had this experience where you wake up and you feel like your body is out of control? You have hot flashes, painful periods, don't feel like yourself. Your symptoms and your body literally feel like they are on fire. This is the story of my next guest. Stacey Fote is a naturopathic physician from Australia, and she takes us through her journey of recovering from debilitating symptoms related to hormonal imbalances. Stacey happened to be a naturopath when she started to experience these symptoms, and she is so passionate about her work in balancing hormonal health for women because she doesn't know where she would be had she not owned that knowledge herself. In particular, Stacey is passionate about talking about the upstream causes of hormonal disturbances, looking at PMS, and in particular, looking at breast cancer, really handing back to women the power to control hormones through the decisions that they make every single day. This interview was not only a pleasure because I always enjoy the opportunity to listen to an Australian accent, but I loved sharing in Stacey's passion for working with women to hand them back the power with respect to their own health. It is so easy to stop and say, stupid body, you're not doing what I need you to do. You are out of control. You are this, you are that. We blame our physical health on our physical body. Rarely are we ever actually given the tools to understand that we have so much more control over what is happening inside of us. Stop thinking about it as your body screaming to you in a negative way. Start to think about it as your body trying to alert you to where it needs help. This is the underlying foundation of how Stacey speaks, and she talks in such a practical manner, sharing things that you can start to shift on a daily basis to gain control over those parts of your health that may or may not be screaming at you. Such a pleasure to chat with her. Here is Stacey Fote. Stacey Fote, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's such a pleasure for you to be here because I'm excited to really delve into this topic of hormonal balance and empowering women. And can you take us through your personal journey of how you came to be such an advocate for women having control over their hormonal health?
Well, you know what? I just got sick of women being told what they can't do because of their hormones. You know, I personally was told that I wouldn't conceive naturally and that I'd started menopause age 27 and I should start looking into IVF as soon as possible, despite the fact that I was single at the time. And I just thought, hold on, you know, someone's telling me you know, this was life-changing news, and I was very blessed that I had my background as a naturopathic doctor and my degree in nutrition, so that I was be able to raise above that and step back and see, you know, heal myself basically. But I had so many women following that come to me with the same problem. I've been told I'd never conceive naturally, or, you know, and things with classic things like adrenal exhaustion and, you know, issues with menopause and polycystic ovarian syndrome, endometriosis. And I just thought, hold on, we need to get this education out there. Women shouldn't feel prisoner to their hormones.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And yet so many women are walking around with that exact feeling, like their hormones have control over them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to the point where women, I hate my body. I hate my hormones. It's not fair. I don't want to be a woman anymore. Why do we have to get this? And it's like, no, it is beautiful being a woman. And I don't want women to ever feel like they're trapped in their body like that.
Yeah. And, you know, I agree with you. And it's funny because I feel like we would have colleagues in the traditional field who would say, I agree as well. Women shouldn't feel trapped, which is why we give them the birth control pill so that they don't have to experience all of these massive fluctuations. I know we both probably have philosophical feelings around that perspective. Why is it that we can't get more people to explore the opportunity to address the fundamental components of health that created the problem in the first place?
Well, I guess it's lack of awareness to begin with. I mean, it's very mainstream. You know, you go to your GP, your doctor, if something's out of whack or your periods are painful, and they give us the only tool in their toolbox, which is their contraceptive pill. I don't know, in high schools, I would love, my big passion is getting into high schools and educating women as teenagers about what is at least normal, because then later in life, if they start getting abnormal issues going on with their periods and stuff like that, then they'll at least know, hold on, this is not right. I've got to do something about this before it gets to that point of infertility or endometriosis or breast cancer.
What are your feelings on the birth control pill? Do you feel like this contributes to long-term health challenges in patients? Do you see that that is the case in your practice?
Oh, look, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? It's a tricky one because it is such a convenient thing and it allows women to have more choices in life. It allows them to choose when they want to have their family, but it comes with consequences. And this is what we got to understand. We need to just stop taking something just because our doctor prescribes it and then we have this automatic assumption that it's safe or it's healthy. It's no big deal. But, you know, you're playing around, you're messing around with a natural cycle. You know, you're suppressing a natural cycle. It comes with consequences, big consequences.
Yeah, I agree with that. The number of women I know who are just told to stay on the birth control pill indefinitely and then come off it when you're ready to have a baby is shocking, actually. And it reinforces this idea that there's a lack of intelligence to your own system.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, you know, one of the most dangerous things that I think anyone can do is jump on the birth control pill because they've got painful periods. You are massively suppressing something and overlooking something. Your body's trying to give you a big warning sign there that something's out of whack. And if you just go and put a Band-Aid over the top of it, you are setting yourself up for serious issues down the track, whether it be a horrendous menopause experience or infertility, you know, breast cancers. It's one of the most dangerous things that women can be doing. And people don't understand that because you go to your doctor and that's the option you're given. And for the most part, it will stop for horrendous period pain. So it's very difficult for women to know. We need to understand that the more damaging effects it's having in the long run.
And we were talking about this earlier, this notion of common versus normal. And this is one of the challenges, I think, with this period pain is that it's extremely common. And if that's the only intervention that that a practitioner has is the birth control pill, then that's what they're going to use. But it's not normal. What should women experience or not experience when they're going through their period or they're going through their monthly cycle? I think sometimes people don't even know. They don't even know what normal is.
That's so true. You know what? So it's definitely not normal to have pain. I mean, it's semi-normal to have a slight twinge because your body's releasing a cascade of different prostaglandins and hormones and chemicals to give the uterus a slight irritation so that it starts to bleed. But this should be felt in the sense of a slight twinge, not horrendous pain. And, you know, when you hear of women who are passing out from pain, who are ending up in the emergency room, who are vomiting because of the pain. That is extreme, okay? That there's something severely going wrong in the body there. The other big thing that I work a lot with women is premenstrual syndrome. So that severe mood and emotional changes in the lead up to their period, and again, that's not normal really as well. I mean, it's a very sensitive time for women, and we want to be in tune with our bodies. And so if you've got strong emotions going on, then you want to be tapping in and listening to them, but not to the point where you're making bad decisions, flying off the handle, you know, snapping at everyone that walks past at you, or and feeling completely miserable. But I always say to women, tune into those feelings. You know, are you really sad? Are you really irritated? Well, what is it that's irritating you? Because it all comes from within. It's not anyone else's fault, even though our partners often leak off it.
Okay, and so now we've got some women's attention. They're like, okay, I had those horrible periods, and I was offered the birth control pill, but I am open. What is it that you would do naturopathically to support my PMS or my mood swings before the period? What kind of assessments do you do, and then what kind of treatment do you offer for women?
I personally do the 7-step healing system called the Balance Me system that I work with clients in my clinic that I've developed myself, because hormone, again, we have to move away from I can just take one supplement and that'll fix all my problems, because balancing hormones, you have to retrace your steps and find out, well, why are they out of balance in the first place?
Yes.
And this is so yes, there are some symptomatic things. You can go out and take your evening primrose oil and some vitamin B6 and some magnesium, and that can take the edge off things. But to a degree, you're still using nutritional therapy to cover up what's going on underneath. And so it'll only get bad once you stop these practices, or when you come to trying to conceive, you'll have issues, or, you know, you've got to always be thinking about the long run. And so, you know, as part of the 7-step process, it is, do you want to go through the 7-step process?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Because awesome, I think this is one, I'm going to interject for 1 second only, because I think one of the things I see in my practice is that people delay coming in because of the assumptions they make about what the process is going to be like. It's not the cost. It's not any of those other pieces. It's that they're so scared of what you might take away from them or what the processes look like. So I actually think this is really, really valuable. Sorry, Stacey, I just wanted to throw that out there because I do want to go through the 7 steps.
Completely agree with you. People are frightened of change. And like I said, what they'll take, people will take them away. And you know, I just want to say too, because I'm personally a self-confessed chocoholic. So if someone told me I could never eat chocolate again, I wouldn't go back to see them either. So I am very compassionate and understanding about, you know, living a balanced life. I mean, that's the whole thing that I'm creating with Balanced Babe. So the 7-step process is about working with you, fitting in with your lifestyle, and doing it in your own time and space as well. So the first step is about cleansing the colon. And you do not have to use coffee enemas to do that. You can do that without that. So basic colon cleansing herbs, supplements. I mean, we use things from psyllium husk through to bentonite clay. And it's just a simple, everything's individual. So someone, it could be a 2-week process. We get in, we clean out the colon, we start setting up an environment where good bacteria can thrive, because our good bacteria plays a huge role in metabolizing hormones. So that's the first step. And that can be as simple as 2 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks for some women. Second step, we have to eradicate the underlying infection that's going on through the body. And there is always some kind of an infection. And this could be as simple as a candida overgrowth. Secondly, it could just be like your SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Some form of bacterial overgrowth happening throughout that GIT tract. And that's, again, it's not a hard process. We can do that with liquid herbs. We can do that with capsules if you hate the taste of herbs. We tailor it to the individual. The third step is healing the gut. That can be a longer step, a more ongoing, challenging step for people, especially if you're someone that consumes a lot of inflammatory foods that is quite irritative to the gut and causing that gut damage. But again, we use more dietary intervention in that stage. But again, healing supplements and herbs, you know, this from arranging things from, you know, bone broth to Cyprium, to, you know, your glutamines and your zincs. It's lots of different things there. The fourth step is about addressing the adrenal glands, because every woman who has hormonal stuff going also has some kind of adrenal stress going on. And if your adrenals are stressed, as in you're tired, you're worn out, or you're in that hyper state where you've got insomnia and anxiety, or you're stressed coming out of your ears, your body can't heal itself when you're in that state of panic, that state of stress, where your body's in that go, go, go mode. We're not really tapping into our ability to heal. The fifth step is then about really dealing with the liver. The liver is your master organ, which balances your hormones. And that's when we can then implement, you know, some herbs again to get the liver going, dietary stuff to help the liver. And each one of these steps is a different amount of time. For some women, they can knock over the seven-step process in as little as 8 to 12 weeks. For some women, if they've got more serious things going on, like endometriosis, you know, polycystic ovarian syndrome, or, you know, infertility, it can be up to 6 months. But for some women, that's more easier for them to get their head around as well. The sixth step is about nailing nutrition. And then the final step is about working with the immune system, because often there's autoimmune type processes going on, which is then throwing everything in the body out of whack, from your adrenals to your gut health. And it's just kind of like the final icing on the cake.
Yeah, I love that. Stacey, you mentioned halfway through that they may be consuming inflammatory foods. And I feel like this is one thing we kind of hear a lot about, but don't necessarily know specifics on. Are there certain foods that you see over and over again in practice as perpetuating inflammation?
Absolutely. So your big, big one is dairy. We've already touched on. Your second one is gluten-containing grains. And for some people, grains in general, but generally gluten-containing grains. Your big ones being your wheat, your rye, your barley, even oats for some people. Refined sugar, and I always stress to women the difference between refined sugar and natural sugars. You know, natural sugars from things like fruit, maple syrup, you know, raw honey, all those really beautiful things. There's no issues with having those in your diet, but your refined white processed sugars in, you know, your lollies and your pastries and that sort of stuff, they're too inflammatory. Another one is alcohol and coffee. They're the big top ones.
Do you have women come off alcohol or coffee, or do you find moderation in those?
Absolutely moderation. Like I said, I mean, my philosophy is balance, babes. So we want to work around your lifestyle so that you can still enjoy these things in life. Sometimes there may be like a 2 week period where I'll say, right, we're going to do a bit of a step up our cleanse here, and we're going to get you off that coffee or alcohol for a short period of time, 2 to 4 weeks. It's all relative to what's actually going in that woman's system. But I do teach moderation. I mean, it isn't really, women shouldn't be consuming any more than 5 standard alcoholic beverages a week. And you know, that's being pretty generous. And with coffee, you know, one a day is fine. You know, especially if you're not doing it with really, you know, if you're doing it with a dairy-free source, or you're having it black, I think, and you're still mineralizing your body and having plenty of good vitamins and minerals in your body.
Yeah, I like that. We talked about this and touched on this a little bit earlier too, in terms of there's certainly foods that are going to perpetuate the problem. And what I love about this whole conversation is this is about giving power back to people. So, you know, talking about inflammatory foods and talking about the stages that we go through, when it comes to beauty care products, are there 3 or 4 that are just red flags for you that people should go and have a look at?
Well, the first one, number one, if you're using aluminium-based deodorants, sandy perspirant deodorants, they are a big, big, big no-no. Like, that's what you should literally jump out the door right now and go out and replace, because these aluminium particles are used to, you know, stop us from sweating, which means they clog up our sweat glands underneath our armpit, which is obviously extremely close to our breast tissue. So we're getting a pooling of aluminium around that breast tissue, which is hugely linked to breast cancer. So that's the number one one. Go get yourself out a nice roll-on one, and there's lots of beautiful organic things with beautiful essential oils, and they smell and they work. And the really common thing, I got a lot of women telling me, they're like, oh, but they don't work, I still smell. And that's, you know what, the deodorant's not the issue, sorry. If you smell, it's because your body is releasing toxicity.
Good
point.
Okay,
you don't want to stress that. You want to help your body facilitate that and get it out as fast as possible. Do not suppress it with more toxins, basically spraying it with all that deodorant.
Yeah, it's funny how many people are like, I think this maybe is a problem. Yes, if there's excessive odor, that is a problem. Your body, remember, like the fundamental thing here is your body's smart. So if it's showing these to you, then it's looking for some assistance. Stacey, you mentioned there breast cancer and the use of, this will be North American for you, aluminum deodorant products. But I know that breast cancer prevention is something you are incredibly passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take us through what that conversation entails when you are talking about the notion of giving this power back to women. And certainly we can't forecast who is going to develop breast cancer or not. But I feel like far too infrequently, we don't have a conversation about the things that we can do as women to decrease our risk.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I used to be really, I'd feel like I was being too overpowering, too dramatic if I was talking about breast cancer with a lot of women, and because it's like, oh, you know, but the reality is it is occurring far too common. And, you know, my big mission is about getting that awareness out there, because it is your job to protect yourself. You know, breast cancer doesn't just happen overnight. Breast cancer happens as a result of long-term lifestyle choices. And it's not just bad luck. I know there's been this whole, you know, centuries of, oh, unfortunately, it's in my genetics. You know, my mum had breast cancer. My mum's mom had breast cancer. So it's just bad luck that I'm going to get it as well. And that is absolute bullshit, unfortunately, because we know that there is a lot of research around epigenetics now. So we have the power to control whether our genes express themselves or not. And so you can't use that as an excuse anymore. You have to be proactive in your everyday life. And it's about flooding your body with good quality nutrition and antioxidants. It's about actively detoxing your system regularly. When you want to do a detox program at least once a year, even sometimes twice a year, depending on how long you're doing it. You want to be doing weekly things to help detoxify your body, whether it be your enemas, going and having infrared saunas, which will get in and repair your DNA. Yeah, you want to be using a superfood formula, you know, a greens formula, which is going to help gently detoxify on a regular basis and flood that body with nutrition. Yeah, you want to be proactive in actually questioning what you're putting on your body with you in terms of your beauty care products and stuff like that, but also the medications you're using. If you are using the oral contraceptive pill, then you need to be doing a protocol to compensate for the effects that's having. And it's also looking at the emotional reasons behind breast cancer as well. Women are, as by nature, nurturers. And if you're someone who is all about nurturing other people and not nurturing yourself, we find that's a common type that women end up with breast cancer as well, when we're not giving to ourselves at all.
Yeah, I think these are such, it's just such an important part of the conversation. So many of the things that we see out there about, you know, contribute to finding more treatment, which is incredibly important. If I was in that situation, I would want everyone all hands on deck looking at treatment. But I do want to be given the opportunity to decrease my risk in the first place. And I appreciate your work there, because it is, it's just so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, it is, there's so much awareness around breast cancer in the world now. I know there's, I think, the Pink Ribbon, I'm not sure if that's where you guys are as well, yeah. But it's all these, you know, women are doing all these fun runs all the time where they're wearing their bras out on the outside of their clothes. And it's great, because it's so many people are aware of this being a huge issue. But awareness without action is a big waste of time. You know, if we're not actually actioning steps to protect our body, then unfortunately you're just putting yourself in that category of another statistic. And it's not fair, because, you know, these women are mums, you know, they're wives, they're best friends, they're people in the community who are just losing their lives far too commonly. And it's just something that I'm really passionate about. You have to take a stand. It is your job to protect your body from breast cancer. It's not your doctor's job. It's not your naturopath's job. It is your job to take steps in your life to protect yourself for your family's sake.
Absolutely. And, you know, consistency builds the cavern. And this is why I'm so obsessed with these daily habits, because it's the small things that accumulate on a daily, weekly, monthly, annual basis that end up contributing to our long-term health. And we're going to spiral up or we're going to spiral down. And where you have control over this, I think it's so important. What do you find, Stacey? You started to mention this. You're like, sometimes there is a psychology to it, or there's a selflessness that we see with certain forms of breast cancer. But what work do you do with women related to hormonal balance and their psychology and their own self-work? What are some of the mindfulness pieces that you bring into play with respect to the hormone balancing conversation?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I'm trained in the emotional freedom technique and body consciousness, which is a type of kinesiology. So as part of the work I do, when you're working with me one-on-one, you get, you know, that's a non-negotiable. We have to be looking at mindset, absolutely. And it's it's big part of it is around ownership of your health and your body. You know, if you become a victim to your hormones or to your genes, you're giving away your power and you're sort of basically a sitting duck waiting for something to happen. But if you're proactive and you're owning your body and you're owning your choices, that's when you have the control over what occurs in your body. So it's a big part about, yeah, empowering women to just sort of go, well, this is my body, and having enough self-worth to love and respect their body, to make it a priority to, you know, learn about day-to-day processes that they can do to protect their body. You know, make it, you know, I always say, you know, you need to make your health a hobby, because if you don't enjoy doing healthy things to your body, well, you know, that's going to fast track disease big time.
Yeah, absolutely. What is the emotional freedom technique? Take us through what it is. I mean, it's something that I'm familiar with, but I feel like for a lot of people, it's something they kind of see in passing, but they don't necessarily know a lot about.
Yeah, well, it's so simple. And that's what I love about it, because I'll do one-on-one sessions with people, but then they can go off and use it. Like, I teach them how to do it so they can go off and do it at home on their own. And it's called the tapping method. And basically we're tapping on different points throughout the body, acupressure points more or less, that basically send signals to the amygdala of the brain, which is like your emotional center of the brain, to basically reset a thought process. So it's, you know, if you're stuck in a belief system, and I do timeline therapy as like a meditation to get people into a relaxed state, and then we can pinpoint, okay, when did this belief start? We go in and we reframe the story, a lot of NLP techniques. And then we basically, if they're stuck in anger because of something happened when they were age 6, for example, let's just say your brother stole your toy or whatever, we go in and we get them to embody that anger, because there's too often we're told, oh, you're fine, don't worry about it, move on, don't worry about it. And so that feeling of being betrayed or hurt or humiliated, whatever it is then suppressed and locked down. But we need to learn to feel our emotions. It's especially, you know, women in particular are told we're emotional beings and we should tone it down and not express things and you know, not have tantrums and not have outbursts. But by not expressing ourselves in a positive way, we're actually suppressing that emotion. And that's where, you know, that's where that festering emotion becomes inflammatory and stagnant, and that's what causes disruption at that cellular level. So I hope I've answered the question there. I get sidetracked a little bit.
No, I kind of love getting sidetracked there. What occurred to me, this isn't even a question. I'm just gonna freely speak what just came to my mind. I remember watching this interview during the U.S. election last year. I'm segueing off of you talking about women being in control of their emotions. And it was two women on the news who said, I couldn't vote for Hillary because I just couldn't bring myself to vote for a woman. I just don't trust that they are calm enough in a job that requires so little volatility. I don't think volatility was their word. But I just find it so ironic a year later that we're looking at the situation and we're like, wow, this emotionality is certainly not reserved just for women. And, you know, this is a human issue, not a female issue. And it's back to this notion of common versus normal. If you are completely losing control of your state emotionally, then you need to look at what's happening with respect to your hormones. But you have a right to work with someone to have new skills developed so that you are not triggered to such an extent.
And yeah, we have to own all our triggers, you know, but if you've got suppressed stuff, anything in the body is, your body is pretty clever. Your body doesn't want anything stored and trapped in your body, whether it be physical toxins or toxic emotional beliefs stored in there. So your body's going to always try and be working to the surface. So that's why we find women premenstrually when where, you know, changing estrogen levels, our body's like, come on, let's release some of this stuff that's stored in there. Let's release some of this baggage, these bad negative energies. And so that's when you can have that eruption. So if you're not looking at belief systems, you know, on an ongoing basis, that's when we can get that crazy hormonal outbreak premenstrually.
Absolutely. It's funny. I say to my patients, this is vast generalization, but, you know, I have a lot of them. They're like, this happened when I was a kid and this happened. I said, you get to blame your parents to 30, and then you have to step up and start to own some of these experiences, because blaming is not going to enable you to escape the consequences of holding on to those emotions. You've really got to deal with it.
Absolutely. And I just say, you know, I'm not blaming you. It's not your fault. but it's your responsibility. Yes. And it's exciting when you own it. You take back the power, which means you write the story from here. You know, it's cool to start owning our stuff.
It is cool. And fault versus responsibility is such an important topic. I'm so glad you brought that up. Stacey, what do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, absolutely. I want to be known as the woman that brought awareness to prevention, you know, in regards to breast cancer. You know, I really want to know that. I want to see breast cancer rates declining rapidly.
How would you define health?
You know what? That's a really good question. So health is, it's a state of being, and it's something that's always changing. You need to be working on it all day, every day. Health is about feeling good emotionally and physically. It's about having enough energy to do anything you want. It's about having the confidence to, you know, do what you want, you know, from an emotional health point of view. But yeah, definitely the energy to live your life how you want to live it, a life by design.
Yeah, I resonate with that. Absolutely.
One of the most important considerations for my patients is how closely can they follow my instructions? How easy is it to be compliant? If you take supplements, you know that tracking down the exact products that your healthcare provider recommends can be a huge hassle. This is the reason that I use FullScript as my online dispensary, so my patients can get the exact products I recommend delivered straight to the door. The best part is that FullScript sends out refill reminders when you're running low, and it makes it totally effortless to stay on track with your protocols. Never hassle with supplements again. Ask your healthcare provider to sign you up for FullScript. If you're a healthcare provider, you can sign up for a totally free account at fullscript.com/anthropology.
This is a really great place to transition to the final section of the interview. And this is a section that I call our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I think we have them in our life as well. So I've got 6 rapid fire questions for you if you are ready.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Okay. First one. Do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share?
Absolutely. Enema, like I said, 5 mornings out of the week. Some daily morning stretches, and I always, always, always drink a liter of water within the first 45 minutes of waking.
Such good advice. I love the hydration piece. We forget how dehydrated we get. Fiction or non-fiction, what are you reading right now?
I'm reading fiction. Yes, I believe it's fiction. Own Your Bullshit, it's called, by Bree Steedman, who's an emotional confidence coach.
Amazing. What's one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Oh, you know what? My enemas.
I figured you'd say that. I love it. No one has ever given us that answer before, which is what makes it all the more fun and intriguing. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh, you know what? I don't think I'm a badass anymore. I was in high school, but I'm pretty plain and boring. I think I'm an angel intuitive, so I play around with angel cards all the time, and I do a lot of readings for fun with my friends and family, and even some clients with using bush flower therapy.
Amazing. What do you do for fun or play?
Beach. I'm a beach babe. I love the beach. Climbing mountains, anything outdoors.
I'm a little bit jealous of this beach opportunity. I'm not going to lie. Last question for you, Stacey. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
You know what? I think it's about having an inner passion. And if you're passionate enough about something that it becomes your mission, you automatically become an entrepreneur. And so I think anyone could be an entrepreneur if they're passionate about something. So yeah, I think it can be learned based on your passion.
I resonate with that a lot. Stacey, you're up to some really incredible stuff. We'll make sure you're completely linked up in our show notes, but tell people where they can find more about the awesome stuff that you're up to.
Well, you can check out my website, balancedbabes.net. On there we have, we actually have a quiz that's not live right now, but it will be very soon, where you can basically get on and do a quiz to check out what level of exposure you have and your risk for breast cancer based on environmental factors, your lifestyle, things you're putting on your skin, things you're putting in your body, beliefs and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. I also have a pretty interactive Facebook group called Balanced Babes, where you can ask any hormone questions you like, and, you know, we'll get in and help you out with that and set you on a plan to get you feeling better soon.
Awesome. And we're going to hook everyone up, like I said, in the show notes below. Stacey, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It was heaps of fun.
Awesome.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.